It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Here he is. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. I have an exciting show. If you've tuned in for this one, you are in for a treat.
Thank you, David.
The treat is Scott Connor
His
market update and stock market analysis.
You're being kind.
I'm always kind. Lisa, you going to push a button today or not?
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
You know, she's been a little chintzy. That's the word, chintzy on the button pushing this week.
Really?
Yeah, she's, you know, well, for the last couple weeks, she's been like, I'm not going to push it. All right, Scott, what do you got going on?
All right, I
got
to burn through this because my last story is one I really want to tell you. I'm aggravated about it.
All right, get to it.
Friday's trade was pretty interesting. You know, we had some terrible news on Thursday after the close from JP Morgan that I'll tell you about in a second. And everybody was really expecting that to have a really negative impact on the market. But the market was up most of the day Friday. It actually closed in the red, the Dow down 35 points. Most of that was JP Morgan. They're in the Dow at 12,819. NASDAQ just about flat, 29.33 on the close Friday. S&P down 4 points, so no big deal. More pressure in the commodities market. Gold down another $14, well inside 1,600 now at 1,580. Some more pressure on oil, we'll all be happy to hear. Down $1.25 at 95.83. We might see gas prices inside of 350 in the next couple weeks.
Amen.
Yeah, that'd be terrific. And 10s at 185, so still money. Looking for a safe place to go. JP Morgan, after the close Thursday, said, we did a bad trade, just so you know.
Just like, one, right?
Yeah, just one. It cost us about $2 billion, somewhere between $2 and $4 billion.
Yeah, not a big deal.
It was a so-called hedge trade. That's right. Thank you. That they were placing with their own money. Is one of those prop trades, which has some irony in it, because the so-called Volcker Rule is going to keep banks from trading proprietary dollars, right?
They're not allowed to trade their own money?
Right.
Under the Volcker Rule?
Right.
So, and has that rule gone into effect?
Not till July.
Okay, well, they got to get the trades in. If they're going to make their losses, they got to get them done before July.
Right, and the most vocal the most vocal opposer of the rule is the CEO of JP Morgan, JP Diamond. So he has had to eat a lot of crow over the last
couple
days.
Boy, this is very ironic.
Yeah, and Barney Frank is all over the news saying, this wouldn't have happened if we could have just got this thing in place. So that's going to be fun to watch for the next couple of days. That trade did bring most of the financials down. Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, all lower on the day. Overseas, we had talked about how they were going to take one more shot at getting a government together in Greece. Well, that shot failed.
What a shock.
Yeah, so they're going to have to go to another election probably sometime in June, and it is widely thought that the socialists, the extreme left socialists, will be very, very happy after that election is over. A little bit of corporate news from Apple. They snuck a little bit higher after their leading Chinese manufacturing partner, a company called Foxconn, reported that they are making preparations to build parts for an ITV. So the long-fabled Apple TV is maybe on the way.
Here it comes.
I don't think it's right around the corner, but it's coming, because we hear a rumor like this every 6 months or so. So we'll see. Looking at the week ahead, Tuesday we get CPI. That'll be fun. Wednesday we get the FOMC minutes. Thursday we have the jobless claims in the Philly Fed. But the big news next week will be Thursday, Facebook pricing. And Friday, Facebook begins trading.
So people should just run right out there and try to get in line to get some Facebook?
Well, the IPO shares are so incredibly oversubscribed already that there really aren't going to be any shares out there.
So what should a retail investor do? Just wait and let the smoke clear, then see what's happening?
Yeah, you can't really say if it's a good buy or not because you don't know what it's going to trade at. You don't know what the price is going to be. So it's a matter of value. But I will say that if it wasn't Facebook and it wasn't an IPO, it was just a regular company, you know, you'd look at the company and say, well, your revenue is shrinking, your expenses are going up, and you've got some, you know, questionable management at the C level. I don't know that you'd be rushing to buy that.
So it's the celebrity status.
Very much so. And okay. I think it's just the familiarity. You know, yeah. People use it and they know it and they like it. A couple things I want to tell you about our friends at Chesapeake Energy.
Oh, this
We've been talking
be good.
To them for a couple
this should
weeks.
Be good. All
I have
right.
three things I want to tell you. First, they all of a sudden announced that they have $1.4 billion in previously unreported liabilities that have been placed through off-balance sheet financial deals.
Were the names of the companies like Luke Skywalker and...
No, it wasn't quite that. It wasn't quite that silly. But it's a strange thing. They borrowed...
That was Enron did that.
Yeah. Since 2007, they have borrowed $6.4 billion from banks mostly. And the agreement is that they're going to pay it back with gas and oil. They're not paying back cash. They're paying back gas and oil.
You know... This stuff is, I mean, it's like you couldn't write a better fiction story.
Well, we're not done writing. So,
oh, okay.
So $1.4 billion from Chesapeake Energy. They also had to announce this past week that the CEO arranged for $450 million worth of loans from those wells that he was participating in. That was just in the
so
last couple
of weeks. So this is like retroactively
weeks.
Thing. Well, yeah, we approved him doing that.
Right, but he...
We were for the loans before we were against
him. He needs $450 million before the door closes on him.
That's a lot of money.
And then finally... Boone Pickens came out and he said, I'm done with this Chesapeake and I sold all of mine, just so you know.
He loves natural gas.
He can't get
enough of it.
He's a big fan of Aubrey too, but he just said, it's just too much. I can't take it. And then finally, this last story I want to tell you about. Facebook co-founder Saverin, this is the Brazilian fellow who helped Zuckerberg found Facebook, has decided that he doesn't really want to pay taxes in the United States, so he has rescinded his citizenship and he is now a Brazilian-born resident of Singapore. I'm aggravated by that.
So you think you don't like he made his money, now he's going to skip town?
Yeah, I mean, it's the American system and the American way that helped him crack his billions.
He should have to pay his fair share.
Yeah, he
right?
has to pay something. There's an exit tax for him to do that, but still.
Well, there really should be.
Yeah, but still, I mean, if he was going to stay here and really take advantage of the system and contribute to the system, as I think a good entrepreneur should... then there would be many, many years of this nice sort of symbiotic relationship between his genius and the market that rewards that. But he wants to go to Singapore.
There's a real simple solution, Scott. He should pay, let's use the... And he's taken this year because this year you get a better deal for the... You know, he's going to have to pay taxes.
Yes.
Just take 50% off the top and let him go.
What happened to 10, 10, and 10?
Well, that's what I would like to do. I'd like to do the first and 10 where whatever you get, you pay 10 yeah. or 15% on. It doesn't matter what it is, but... I'm not running yet, or at all.
He's off to Singapore.
All right, well.
And I'm off to my office.
One-way ticket for both of you.
That's right.
All right, Scott, thanks for joining us today, as you always do, with very insightful analysis on the market, the economy, and life. Scott Connor. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, you don't want to miss this. I have a special guest in the studio with me, Trevin Clough, who is going to be talking with you about all things psychology and your money. And you're going to love it. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
We're back, and I promised, and you will not be disappointed. You're going to hear one of the most amazing guests for radio or for really, he's on TV with me, Dr. Trevin Clough. and I'm making sure I say his name correctly because I've messed it up in the past. So you'll hear me putting special emphasis on Klo. Dr. Klo is a, well, let's get the background. You're in New Smyrna Beach and you practice psychology.
Yes.
You're a counselor.
Yes.
Licensed mental health counselor.
Correct.
Very good. And so what's your day-to-day like?
My day-to-day, I see everything. I end up sort of, you know, small town. I get to see it all and do it all. I get to see kids. I get to see families, couples, individuals.
Depression, anxiety, marital relationships, all of that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, kids.
Yes.
Well, I don't have to gamble here, no pun intended, that you've dealt with a lot of money issues.
Yes, always.
All right. So they say that money's the root of all evil. It may not be the root of all evil, but it certainly is the root of a lot of stress.
An enormous amount of stress. Yes.
Why?
Money's, you know, we're sort of designed for better. So we get up every day, and if we're happy and we're healthy, then we're kind of overreaching a little
bit. We're seeking. We're seekers.
Yes, we are seekers. We're out there trying to make our lives better. And of course, money is representative of that because it's a very fast, easy psychological bank account that we can draw from to improve our lives.
And very measurable.
Yes.
And so it's very simple to say, how far have I gone by a certain point by saying how much money, how many zeros are behind my name?
Right, right. And there's always sort of a wants list of one form or another. And so usually right at the edge of our means, we have things that we want. And the fact that we want things is actually, you know, it's kind of healthy. We get a dopamine release and it keeps us going in a direction and keeps us motivated.
So money for a lot of people is like dope.
It is. Yes.
I'm not like it is. You're right. It is. I mean, because it hits the same brain receptors and...
Absolutely. And all the variations, all of your addictions and all of your overspending. And so, yes, money is very important in terms of psychological health.
There's so many places to go here. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is why I wanted to have Dr. Klo on, because he's great to share with us about the impact that money has on us. It makes us do crazy stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, money, we're more afraid of losing than we are enjoyment of gaining.
So even though we say we want the gains and we say we want it, we're willing to take risk. You know, I have this question all the time I have with people is how, you know, let's talk about volatility. How comfortable are you with volatility? When a person hears that, what they're hearing in their mind is, well, volatility means that it might go down and up, but it's always going to go back up.
Yes.
And they're thinking about the potential. They don't, the potential loss. Very often I tell people, you know, when we look at doing the investments and what you need to do, we need to make sure that we do the right things, because for many people, once they are getting closer to retirement, the risk of loss is much more deadly to them, not only financially, of course, psychologically as well, and their mental state, but also that the upside potential is not worth it. They're not going to get enough bang for their buck. The loss will hurt them more in their retirement than the gain will help. And you're seeing that also, though, just from a pure mental, healthy mentality or healthy state of mind.
Every aspect of our lives, we're avoiding loss. In fact, that's sort of one of those things that's a hardware, not a software issue. And so somebody like you has to work really hard to get hard data into the conscious mind to battle this unconscious process of trying to avoid losing stuff. We will take the smartest people looking at math, doing very concrete things, who the unconscious will override that, and they'll make illogical decisions in a very logical process to avoid that feeling of loss.
So we will get where we want to, where we subconsciously want to be, and play with logic to get there.
Yes, it just hurts. And we sort of saw that over the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 years.
You know, there was a gentleman that wrote a book, and I'll see if I can get this right, Irrational, Predictably Irrational.
Oh yeah, great book.
Daniel Ariely?
Yes.
Okay. He wrote about that same concept that you're talking about.
He's got some real good data in there about some computer games they played with some MIT people and reasons.
Yeah, those MIT guys make good experimental rats. That's good.
That's exactly right.
But it's really fascinating to me that people, because I do deal with this often, and I do a lot of counseling people to understand how this affects them. And so we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. Dr. Klo is going to share with us about how to accept the reality of how we think and then try to make better decisions knowing that about ourselves. Fair enough?
Sounds good.
All right, we're going to come right back.
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
All right, so Dr. Chloe is in the studio with me. And, you know, let's get some information out so they can call you, because I just find what you do fascinating, and I love talking with you. And your telephone number, you're in New Smyrna Beach.
Mm-hmm.
You are accepting new patients?
Yes.
Okay. And so you're working with a lot of current people. You can probably get a lot of people that recommend you. Your telephone number is 386-428-4564.
Correct.
All right. Very good. And you can call Dr. Chloe and talk with him, and his office manager can schedule an appointment, meet with him, talk to him about the things that you need help with.
Yes.
And do you have a couch? Do you have a couch that people actually, you know, come and lay down on the couch? Do you have one of those?
Actually, I have two chairs, but they recline.
Okay. All right. That's important, because, see, I wouldn't come to you unless you had something I could stretch out on. Okay. So we were talking before the break, and this is really what it comes down to. Knowing that we are emotional, we're not robots, right?
Right.
And we're going to get our minds where we want to be. We can justify just about anything, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. We're going to find a way to get what we want. And we may have already reached that conclusion. We'll go find the facts to back it up, or the supporting argument. What do we do with that knowledge to make better decisions? Or can we control ourselves?
Turning on the conscious mind. So knowing when to turn it on and when to start thinking. You know, data is so important. You deal with that every day. If you can put numbers in front of people, if you can count it, you can change it generally.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I'm writing these things down, because around our office, some of the things you've said really stuck. The other one that really stuck for a lot of my employees is we refer to your statement about, and this was on our television program, that you only have so many no's for the day.
Yes.
Explain that to our listeners, what you mean by that.
Well, it's an interesting, one of the biases that we have built into us is we do cook the facts the way we need for them to be to justify the emotional direction we're going in.
That's it right there.
And part of those cooking the facts is, you know, our ability for self-control, that's an exhaustible resource. It goes away. So our mood, our situation, what we've endured that day, later in the day, we tend to make worse decisions. And so we are of a different mind at different points, depending on our circumstances. And a huge part of that is a lot of life, particularly in this culture, is we're saying no to a lot of things. If we're to say yes.
We're bombarded.
Oh, just walking into a 7-Eleven, that's a dozen no's you just spent right there. I mean, between alcohol and carbs, and everybody's got something, and it is a 7-Eleven. You know, the gambling.
They got it all.
And so, you know, making sure that we're monitoring how many no's we have and how we spend them is huge. Otherwise, it's exhausted, and at the end of the day, we're in a deficit, and we really feel like we need to reward ourselves in one form or another.
We capitulate.
Yes.
And so, not only from our own devices, from our own, you know, saying, oh, I want it, or also being susceptible to others.
Yes.
So maybe, you know, and I'm thinking about the work I do in working with people. I need them to be alert, clear-minded. I need them to have their nose with them. If what I'm saying doesn't make sense, or it isn't clicking for them, I need to know that.
Yes.
So the best time for people to make financial decisions, to maybe meet with their advisor, 10 o'clock in the morning. Not at 5 o'clock at night?
It's going to be different for everybody. Most people's systems are, 10, okay. You're making your best decisions. 2 o'clock, you kind of want to take a nap. And then 5, 6, you're pretty good again. And then in the evenings, you're kind of wanting to indulge because you spend a lot of time doing a lot of things you don't want to do.
All right, y'all hear that? Dr. Chloe says I can take a nap at 2 o'clock every afternoon. That's a prescription. Will you write that prescription out for me?
Absolutely. Actually, that's healthy.
That's healthy. Dr. Chloe. 386-428-4564. I told him before we started the program, I said, I want people to be able to call you and talk with you and get help, because there's so many things that we face in terms of life that being able to sit down and talk with somebody and get some actual professional guidance. That's really what it is. It's helping people think through what they need to do and make some of these conscious decisions the right way.
Yes. Well, it's interesting you mentioned Facebook. That's sort of allows us to detach a little bit. Self-presentation, and we don't get authentic feedback. We don't have mirrors in our lives anymore.
Right.
So I find that increasingly my job is sort of being a perspective mirror for people that they're not getting anywhere else.
So you'll give them that candid assessment and honest feedback, saying, here, you're, you know, this is who you, this is what's going on, this is what you need to know.
This is what I'm hearing you say. Yes.
Okay. Okay. And so it's not sugar. It's being clear about what somebody's dealing with.
We're interested in change, making lives better. I just want people's lives to be good.
Well, you can't make a change or make improvements unless you're honest.
Correct.
And clear.
Well, my phrase is sort of the cozier we are with reality, the less suffering we do.
So if we need to twist it a little bit, that's what happens. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back with Trevin Clough, who is sharing with us about the psychology of money and things to understand to make better decision making. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're coming right back. We have Trevin Clough, Dr. Trevin Clough, in our studio here. His telephone number, his office is 386-428-4564. And I put him on the hot seat on the break. I said, okay, Dr. Clough, what do we tell people when we come back from the break about this relationship with money that really matters to them? And so you said, well, they need to understand this relationship really, right? I mean, how it affects them.
Yes, money and happiness. That's the question that's been asked, and there's a lot of good research out there. It's a fun time to ask that question. There's some good stuff. And the answer is, does money lead to happiness? And the answer is sort of, well, how hungry are you? And
interesting.
If you're starving and cold, then each dollar is very valuable. If you're choosing between going to a $150 play or renting a dollar red box, then those people are in the same category of happiness, and being able to do one and not the other may increase your happiness 5 to 10%, but it doesn't do much more than that. It's being able to have a car and get places is the really, that's where you get the bang for the buck.
That's pretty interesting. So the further along people get on the economic scale, there is this law of diminishing returns. They don't get as much. So it's that balance, I guess, is what it comes back to. And once people achieve a certain level of success, then, you know, it's just not as, I guess, fulfilling, or is, you know, so how does that feed into the risk takers? You know, I'm sure you deal with plenty of business people that come in and talk with you and they take risk. You know, I've taken risk in my career to build my business and get it to where it was what I wanted it to be, to be able to work with my clients and have it work the way I wanted it to work. How can people say, okay, you know, enough's enough, when you've got somebody who's this driven?
Yeah.
How do they deal with that drive?
You know, that's a interesting question, and I'm sure you deal with it. The question I'll ask back is, well, okay, how much money is enough for retirement? People, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about retirement.
And, you know, I ask that question often, or I get that question asked by the client, and I will, you know, answer the question with a question and say, well, how much do you want for income? Let's talk about your lifestyle. I just did this with a couple, okay? My chairs don't recline. They have to sit up straight. I got to keep them awake, okay? So I just went through this thought process, and it's like, okay, when do I retire? How long, much longer do I have to work? Good choice of words. That tells me that they are wanting to, they're not addicted to the work.
Right.
That's good.
Yes.
Because if they're addicted, I can't fix that. I can do something with the money, but I can't change that. So then the question becomes, all right, well, let's narrow it down. Do you have an idea how much money you want to have? Well, no, not really. This is what we've accumulated so far. All right, well, what kind of lifestyle do you want? How much income do you want? Well, I don't know, because I might work part-time. So we keep narrowing it down. And I finally got it to where it was like, okay, well, we want between, you know, $5,000 and $7,000 a month income. Okay. Now, okay, or it might have been two or three, whatever somebody says. Now I've got a framework. But getting somebody to that point, sometimes I have to go the other way, which comes back to your point about risk aversion and loss. I start with the question the other way around. People will say, well, what can I don't know how much money I want to have. Then I'll do it the other way around. Let's look at how much you can get with what you got without taking risks, without and being safer and more conservative. I guess, am I doing the right thing for my clients? I mean, is that what they need to be thinking, Dr. Klo, is that they are, what can I do with what I got, not some artificial number that's out there?
Yeah, here's the interesting thing. We dramatically underestimate our ability to adapt. So if we give people the option to become a quadriplegic today or to win the lottery, people are going to say, I want to win the lottery because I'll be happier. But the truth is, 6 months later, both people groups resume the exact same level of happiness pretty much.
And that's just extraordinary. I've heard you talk about that before. That's just I have that. It's just hard for me to process that.
Well, we worship money and we don't understand that happy people don't control, they adapt well. And so understanding that we're going to adapt, and so these retirees, you know, the question is, well, are you going to be bored and you're going to want to travel a bunch? Well, if that's the case, you're going to need some money.
Every day, Saturday.
And so understanding that, okay, well, if my spending is at, you know, $8,000 a month now, and when I retire, it'll be $3,000 a month. If that's what you can afford, you'll be pretty much just as happy after you spend the 6 months adapting to that lifestyle.
There's that adapting time they've got to go through.
Yes. And the sooner they do that, the better. I would imagine a lot of your time is spent helping people adapt now to prepare for that life.
I love to get people early. I love when somebody comes in and says, David, I'm 58 and I'm thinking about, I haven't decided, but I'm thinking about retiring at 60. Can I retire at 60? And if I do, how much money can I have and how will I make this work and how do I get my financial life in order? Great stuff, Dr. Klo. 386-428-4564 is Dr. Klo's telephone number. And he's accepting new patients, and you hear him talking. He's great to talk to. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
All right, we're back, and we're down to the final 2 minutes. I told Dr. Klo on the break, I said, I'm going to have you come back where we can talk about specific subjects, because we could just kind of wander and talk about the relationship between our heads and our wallets all day. And that'd be fine with me.
Absolutely.
So what should people take from this conversation with you, Dr. Klo, Dr. Trevin Klo, 428-5464, 386 area code in New Smyrna Beach. What should they take away?
I think understanding that before we make decisions, we need to turn our conscious mind on as much as possible. And we're more likely to make bad decisions when we're reacting. And that means that our will is low, and our will is low when we're stressed out, when we want to feel better. Money's our main thing that we reach towards to feel better a lot of times.
As much as alcohol or food or...
Absolutely. Wow. I can hit a switch and feel better. I can go to the dollar store even and buy something.
I could buy a lot.
Yeah.
Fill that basket up.
And as you teach people daily, as long as that's within a context that's predetermined, you know, as long as you're counting, as long as it's within some boundaries... Then good. Go enjoy it.
Well, that's why people get in trouble with credit cards.
Yeah.
Because there is no immediate putting the money down on the table. It's just swiping.
I guess I would say, you know, your service actually has an enormous amount to offer people in terms of happiness, because I would argue that when people only really, really enjoy spending their money when they understand what they're spending, why, and it's within a context that they know is okay.
Budget is not a bad word, and a financial plan, actually, probably, if enough people did financial plans, marital couples or couples probably would have a high degree of improving that happiness. I see, you know, the spender and the saver very often, and they're together, and the spender just wants to spend, and the saver is going as nervous as can be because the spender spent all the money and the saver wants to save. And if they get the plan, the saver says, see, this is what we need to do. Okay, I feel good. And they relax. And the spender says, great, I can go spend money because that's what I want to do in the first place. Now I know the limits. So it's about setting those limits. Well, we're out of time. We're up against a limit. Dr. Trevin Klo, 386-428-4564. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Love
to have
you
here.
I just like hearing your voice. That's all that matters.
Thank you.
Great voice, great guy. And go see him. He can help sit down and talk with him about some of the issues you face. And be sure to tune in next time. We'll have him on another day. Thank you for joining us today.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.